Bit, bit, a bit. Bam. Got your little seltzer water?
Yeah. I've been drinking a lot of seltzer lately.
Yeah? I cannot stand the seltzer water.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Well, wait a minute. Is Pellegrino called... Some people call Pellegrino like it's its own thing. They're like, oh, get me a Pellegrino. Like, seltzer water, soda... Do you drink soda water?
No. I drink soda. Lots and lots of soda.
Or water.
Yeah. I don't really drink water at all.
So when you go to a restaurant and they say flat or
chunky.
I like the bubble water.
No.
Yeah, that's weird.
I can't stand the carbonated water.
I'm European that way.
Yeah, you are.
You are.
Yeah.
Are we gonna start the show?
You fit in just well at your snobby little Upper West Side cocktail parties.
Tom's an everyman, Andy. What are you talking about?
Bring me a Pellegrino, old chap.
All right, this is the Red Eye Podcast. That's Tom Shalhoub, Andy Levy, and Tim Diamond. I'm Ben Kissel. I guess we're talking about water.
Look, I'll go one step further. I have...
The face, Andy's face is priceless. The excitement in his eyes.
I love the Pellegrino water. Okay.
This is Andy, all month, he's like, can we talk about water?
Finally.
It's like, this
finally.
This is your episode, Andy.
Well, I like it in the glass, the big glass bottles.
Yes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The thing is, I prefer the big glass bottles to the plastic bottles and the small glass bottles, the individual small glass Pellegrinos. I don't like what happens to the carbonation in them for some reason. I like the ideal Pellegrino is the big glass bottle.
This is the wealthiest I've ever felt. I feel like this is conversations just rich people without a care in the world have on a daily basis.
I drink Pellegrino water.
I know. I see it.
No, I keep it by the bed table. So when I wake up in the night, so you probably keep a glass of water by your bed, do you?
Yeah, gin usually. But, yeah.
But I used to, you know, I always had water next to my bed.
Sure.
Sometimes a bottle of water or something like that. I switched
sometimes
to
your hand in it
because I love Pellegrino so much. I wake up and I have Pellegrino at you know 4 in the morning when I wake up.
You have carbonated water at 4 in the morning?
I do. Yeah.
Wait, you wake up at 4 intentionally to miss our show or just by accident?
No, just by accident. you know, I wake up. Do you guys awake in the middle of the night?
All the time.
Yeah. 4:30. 4:30 is a big time for me.
I woke up the other night. I sent my stories in at 4:15, which Robert, one of our producers here, so accurately called me out for. But I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was just wide awake, and I did a little work.
That
was exciting.
I find I'm very clear at those hours.
Well, yeah, we did a whole story that 4 o'clock in the morning is supposedly when your mind is at its crispus. Crispus. Is that a word? Crispus?
Sure.
Sounds like a candy.
It's a crispus miracle.
I'll never forget the first time I had bubbly water. I was in Germany, and I was 8 years old visiting my Oma and Opa. They were they had a strange situation going on with them in the early 20th century. And... the first time I ever had it was I was disgusted and I couldn't believe that the Germans were such a terrible people. I knew that this is
what pushed you over the
this
edge.
This is what pushed me over the edge. Yeah. The bubbles in the water.
He'd heard rumors.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they kept on being like, drink the water, eradicate the bubbles. And I was like, okay.
But no, you know what? You
it
may
disgusting.
Have it, the way they do it over there in Europe. Often they have mineral water, and it has a lot of taste to it. There's a lot of metals in it and whatnot. So you might have been having some very strong. Waters.
I don't know. Maybe it was just water that my Opa used to bath in and then they would feed it to us as children or something. I have no freaking
I remember
clue.
The first time someone gave me carbonated water, I took a sip and I spit it back in his face and then beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, and that was the invention of slapstick comedy, I believe.
Yeah.
That's the only thing bubbled water should be used for is a vaudevillian sketch about how a waiter messed up your order.
You got those cufflinks. They're really...
American flag cufflinks.
They're, your buttons, too. You're making a lot of noise with your apparatus.
Yeah, I got too much stuff going on.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. It doesn't matter. But, yeah, water is really good, and everybody loves it, Tom. This is the most universal subject we'll ever talk about. This podcast could theoretically reach 6 billion people.
This is interesting, though, because I always wondered who the one person was who, when they at a restaurant, if they say, you know, flat or sparkly or bubbly, whatever, who doesn't say flat is fine. Yeah, and it's you.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of people out there.
I don't think there are. I think it's just you.
I've never been to a restaurant that has given me that option.
I just feel like you walk into every restaurant like Jim Carrey's character did in Dumb and Dumber with the top hat and the cane. I mean, that's the only way that I could rationalize somebody getting the bubble water over the flat water. It's also, Tom, quite frankly, anti-American.
It's very anti-American.
Yeah, we're a bubble-free water country.
Yeah. That's why, by the way, the pilgrims came here.
That's right.
To get away from
to escape the bubbleocracy.
You know, I think, Tim, you obviously don't go out to restaurants, Tim.
I have never been offered water at a Chick-fil-A or a McDonald's.
Yeah, that's because
have you ever been to a restaurant
a
with
King?
A waiter?
That's what I'm saying. I don't. I don't go to these fancy restaurants.
Hey, like
no, I've always like from my childhood on, I've always ordered. I used to always get Shirley Temples. Then I went up to Mountain Dew, and that's about it. That's about all I drink.
The Shirley Temple's an interesting drink. You know, candy cigarettes.
Tastiest.
So good.
My brother used to make fun of me because apparently, like, I hit puberty, but still ordered Shirley Temple. So I would go, "Can I have a Shirley Temple?"
Takes a real man to do that, though.
I have had them as adults many a time.
Well, what's the Shirley Temple? What is it if it has alcohol in it?
No.
I know it doesn't. But what is it called if it does? Is that a Manhattan?
I don't.
Isn't it an alcoholic drink in theory? And then for the kids, they give them the Shirley Temple.
It's a ridiculous drink for kids, so they can feel like they're having a drink when they're with adults. And Tim should be embarrassed to be drinking them over age 13.
Nope. Tim is in no way embarrassed, but Tom is very angry.
It does seem to encourage alcoholism in the child's later years, doesn't it?
Well,
would you let your daughters drink Shirley Temples all over town?
Well, yeah, they like to get them. And you know it comes with the cherries and all that. It's kind of elaborate. And you know, of course, if I'm going to be drinking away, which I am at the table, might as well let them have some drinks too.
I just feel like you're just setting them up to become a very disgruntled theater critic in Manhattan.
Maybe
drinking drinking not Shirley Temples, but just straight up vodka.
Although I mean, listen, they with the self importance, they're always dad. You know, like they're like, oh, dad, you with your drinks. Like they're such teetotalers, the kids
10.
These days. Well, I'm saying that the prohibition on drinking and smoking, and it's like, oh, these unhealthy habits and whatnot. Now, when I was a kid, of course I wanted to grow up and drink because that's what everyone did. You know what I mean? I used to watch Mr. Roberts, that classic movie, and they had to make cocktails
Such
on the
a good
ship.
Movie.
Yeah, I mean, they have no, there's no alcohol, so they make it out of rubbing alcohol and Coca-Cola. They make scotch.
Right.
Ooh. And I remember as a kid thinking, I can't wait to make my own scotch.
That and mash.
Oh, yeah. They had the still.
They had the still. Yep.
And, you know.
I feel like you're the only one who watched that HBO show Oz, and you're like, you know what? Something about that Pruno. That looks pretty good. The prison doesn't look so good, but the wine, just above a Mad Dog 2020.
But the thing
so
is
you're
that,
upset that your daughters don't want to drink.
Well, that they, you know.
That they're anti.
You know, they act as if I have some kind of bad habit.
Right.
And I tell
you
them,
do.
I don't. This is a fantastic thing.
Having a drink is not a bad – I mean, I don't drink much these days, but it's not a –
not only, bad at all.
It's a bad habit if you overdo it like anything else.
Yes. And we all – I mean, come on. We all know that what happened during Prohibition, it was bad.
Yeah, people were dying, going blind because of bathtub gin. The Democrats actually were the reason the Prohibition ended. It was a big winner for them. Interesting interesting little point.
Not really.
It was an interesting point, Andy. You want to go back to talking about bubble water?
I do, actually.
All right. I like the way it goes in my mouth.
I want to talk about something that happened to me, because we never do that.
No, Andy, we don't.
So Sunday night, I'm sitting at home minding my own business. I believe I might have been playing a video game. And I, of course, have my Hue light, my Philips Hue light set to a low-level red.
What? Wait, hold on. I don't know what a Hue light is.
Sure you do.
These are emotional lighting.
But they use in Amsterdam's red light district to entice people into.
No, they're lights that you can control. You can change the color and the brightness and whatever.
Okay, I didn't know
about this. Oh, okay. All right. So I have them set to a low-level red. I'm only bringing this up because it's vaguely important to the story. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, on my apartment ceiling. Now, I'm on the 23rd floor. My apartment's 23rd floor. So I'm up fairly high above the masses, as I should be. And a bright green blob of light starts streaking across my ceiling. And it freaked me. It was incredibly freaky because you're not expecting that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was.
Do we have paranormal activity happening?
Well, I was trying to check because the PlayStation 4 controller has a light on it, and I was thinking, you know, because I think I was just – I had the game on, but I was in the menu screen, so I wasn't actually playing. And I thought, was I just moving the control? But that light is blue. I was trying to figure out – did that somehow mix with the red hue lights to create green? And I'm not a scientist, but I don't think red and blue is green
when you
put them together.
No, no.
So on top of all this, so this was weird.
But why do you call it a blob of light? That's what's weird about it.
It was because it was like a circular – it wasn't an actual circle, so I wouldn't call it a ball. But it was like a globule or a blob. It was an amorphous shape, Tom.
God.
Did it move with motivation?
It didn't. It was just kind of streaking across the ceiling. One of the cats freaked out.
Yeah.
Now
– laser pointer.
On top – It was too big of a and blobby of a thing to be a laser pointer.
If it's a laser pointer far away.
Maybe.
Yeah, but who would have the laser pointer?
And also, laser pointers are generally not green. But
I don't think so.
But that was my thought, that someone on the street, because I had my blinds up, so I could see what my neighbors are up to, of course.
Of course.
And that was my thought, and it's probably what it was. But let me throw in another little thing that happened also. All day Sunday, there was a fly in my apartment. Now, you're saying, okay, well, you get – it's New York City. You get flies. This fly – there was something about this fly, guys.
Uh-oh.
Yes. Steve Guttenberg?
It would –
I was going to say Jeff Goldblum.
Well, That's what I meant. Something like that because it kept coming near me. And it would like land – like if I was sitting on my couch, it would land on my coffee table or on my laptop and just kind of look at me. So, here goes Andy with his crazy theories again.
I think you're actually going this time.
An odd fly and a green amorphous blobby light shooting across my ceiling. Something is going on.
Well, it seems like you have some paranormal activity happening, and that's why every time you see a fly, if it lands on you, try to kiss it because you never know if it's a princess. And I kiss most things that land on me just to make sure they're not just a cursed, entity from a faraway Middle Eastern land.
There's no flies that turn into princesses.
You never know what the witch did to them.
You know, when I saw
princesses,
a fly,
that's really interesting, though, Andy.
Just normal. It was always princes.
I mean, it could be a residual haunting.
Let me tell you something that I saw one time, and it was at my brother's house. There was a fly in the house, and it was buzzing down in this area in the corner. Okay, and the dog went running over there and had his he was kind of staring at the fly, and the fly kind of buzzed against the wall for a while, and then flew away. And then the dog went over to the wall and licked the wall where the – licked furiously at the wall where the fly was, okay? And then ran away as if it was commanded to do so by the fly. And so there was slobbery dog saliva all over the wall.
Uh-huh.
The fly returned and laid its eggs in the saliva.
Huh.
What is that?
That's beautiful, you know?
That is nature.
That's the circle of life.
Yeah,
I mean, the fly needed a place to we're in the desert. There's no moisture at all in the house. You know, you're
right.
Because, my brother lived out in Arizona at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The fly needed, flies lay their eggs in garbage and in water pools, whatever.
Yeah.
It needed a place. It convinced the dog to lick the wall. I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing?
Huh?
Yeah. I saw it with my own eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, the dog knew it had a dog job to do, and it did it.
Yeah. I just want to make quick. I just want to go back to my story for one more quick second.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not crazy. I don't think
you're totally crazy.
Let me finish.
I think it's a haunting.
I don't think it's a haunting. I think it's fairly obvious. It's the government trying to convince me that I'm crazy, and that's what's going on here.
You think they're gaslighting?
I think I'm being gaslighted by our own government. Yes.
Well, you didn't have to bring it up, Andy.
Yeah.
People need to know.
Yeah.
People need to know because if something happens in the next couple of weeks or so, I want this story out there. I mean, I'll be shocked at this point if this podcast ever sees the light of day, to be quite honest, or there'll be a mysterious, snip in it somehow, a digital edit that somebody did.
Yeah. So 5 minutes of lost time.
But this is
– our government has trained flies to look at you.
Again, I'm not crazy. I'm not saying the government trained the fly. I'm saying it was probably a robot fly that the government built.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad now about, kind of laughing about this because now I'm going to get accused of gaslighting you, Andy. So I'm now I have to take you seriously.
Right. Well, there's a 40% chance you're in on it. I mean,
I would like to zoom into the fly's eye and just see Tom looking at your pixelated screen and be like, yes.
I'll say this, Andy. I'm not in on it, but if there, because I've never seen any evidence of these government conspiracies. If I do, I'm joining the government.
I know.
Like, right. If they yeah. exist, I will join with the government rather than be on the outside.
Sure.
I want to be on the inside.
Sure.
I was going to do that to mock you, but then you just took it upon yourself and you're proud of it. You would be such a shill for the government. You would kill all of us in a heartbeat. It's unbelievable, Tom.
Well, no, I wouldn't kill you.
You would allow us to die.
Yes, I would clerk for those who
killed you. Right, exactly.
Right.
Well, I guess I have to respect that. That's not horrible.
I mean, I did so. You know, I remember I remember watching Star Wars and thinking, like, you know, what's the problem really here? Okay, the planet Alderaan.
Oh, don't tell us.
You know,
oh,
but
you
the
sided
with the Empire.
I don't want to. No, I can't do the Empire thing.
Okay. I mean,
I can't do this.
Look.
No, I can't do this. This was a big thing on the internet. It was really annoying.
Oh, what happened?
No, the whole the Empire are really the good guys of Star Wars.
I
can't go through it again.
Well, Tom thought it would.
Go ahead. No, Tom, go ahead. I'll just sit up.
No. I don't think they were. Okay. But I'm just saying that, you know, as a kid, I remember thinking I was open to it. Listen, when Darth Vader wasn't around, they seemed to be doing okay.
Yeah.
You know, other than that Darth Vader character, you know, they weren't that bad.
No, they were just trying to survive, you know. And
they looked snazzy. They marched well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't realize this was a whole internet thing.
They did the same
thing.
Plan over and over and over again, always failing.
I know.
You know, I mean, I guess I can understand to some degree. Every time I watch a horror movie, such as Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Friday the 13th, I've always sided with characters like Leatherface and Jason. I always – so I guess to some – in my world, that would equate to siding with a terrible human being.
No, I don't agree.
Dismembers
I don't
people.
Side with Leatherface. I don't
I
side
love
with
Leatherface.
Those,
they shouldn't have made fun of him for his weird face, you know? I mean, the children are horrible to him, and, you know, he was just trying to help out the family and take out the garbage, which, of course, in this situation, we're young people. So that's not
well, in every situation.
Pretty much every situation, yeah. And then, of course, Jason was drowned, I mean, or allowed to drown, you know, by the lazy camp counselors, and they mocked him, too.
Freddy?
Freddy is more difficult.
What is he?
He was a child molester.
Was he, though?
I think he was.
Was he actually?
I believe
Or did they just accuse him of that?
Well, there are two different theories on that.
Yes.
Some people do side with maybe what you're, you know,
guys,
leaning
I can't.
Towards.
This was a big thing.
This was a thing for
the
you.
Internet.
Very big.
And I'm just going to sit this one.
Well, you know what? Yeah, let's just say Freddy was innocently burned. He was just a janitor trying to make a living, a 9-to-5, and they burned his house down.
Yep.
And then he haunted the, you know, he got his revenge.
Freddy was a metaphor for the whole 1980s recovered memory child abuse thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like the Franklin cover-up and things like that.
Yeah, Freddy was innocent.
Freddy was innocent.
Absolutely.
You heard it here first,
Absolutely.
Folks. I think that's
Please tell me you have a t-shirt that says that.
I actually love that.
That is a perfect.
Free Freddy.
If you're a listener, please put out some graphics of the Freddy was innocent.
Innocent of his original crimes. You're saying he turned bad, but it was because...
I'm not saying he turned bad.
No.
I'm saying he did what he had to do after bad stuff was done to him.
Yeah, if you burn him alive, you get all your children haunted forever.
Yes.
That is the rule.
It does seem fair.
Yeah, it does seem fair.
Yeah. Sins of the father and all that.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's how they make them. You know, that's the bad is always so enticing because theoretically, you know, there are no ramifications for Jason's or Leatherface's or Freddy's actions other than, you know, Freddy tends to die a horrific death at the end of most of the films.
At the end of every episode of every film.
But, you know,
and,
do you remember?
And then he's back.
Do you remember in the 80s when, you guys, they had a Saturday morning. You guys are too young for this. But the Saturday morning television show. Freddy Krueger had a Saturday morning television show that used to air at 9 a.m.
Oh, I don't remember
And
that.
It was one of the funniest things I ever saw in my entire life.
What? Did it have a live audience? Or
no,
what?
It was just Freddy talking and then they would cut to like...
Animated?
No, it wasn't animated. Robert Englund actually
really?
Did it. Yeah.
I did.
And then as I grew up, I was like, I think they just... That guy's a pedophile. Strange choice. I don't know how that got through HR and how that made it to television.
That is bizarre.
It was amazing. It was only on for a season and I think the owner of NBC or whatever turned on the television one day and was like, what did we do?
Yeah.
I think we have to cancel that show.
No, I grew up with more, I think Tom and I both grew up with more wholesome Saturday morning fare like Scooby-Doo with the always stoned guy the talking dog.
Scooby-Doo. It's incredible
Scooby-Doo.
Because it lasts to this day. And it's so low quality. I mean, it's low quality in every sense. It's a horrible, horrible thing.
Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo, yes.
Oh, I don't know.
It's horrible stories. It's horrible characters.
No.
It's just not funny at all. It's not funny. It's not original. It's it's terribly animated,
what?
And it's just continued.
It's amazingly
animated. What world are you from?
I mean, don't pretend that that's
like Zoink it's Scoob.
Pre-Scrappy-Doo Scooby is fantastic.
I mean, why? Why is it fantastic?
It's terrible. It's enjoyable.
It's not enjoyable.
It is enjoyable.
It's only nostalgic because you watched it because you had nothing else to watch. It's It's such garbage.
There's always a mystery, though, and they would teach you what you
could
do with
mirrors. It's a horrible mystery.
It's always something, you know.
They taught you not to trust the old guy who lived on the farm. Very valuable lessons.
How many kids were saved from being abducted because of Scooby-Doo?
Yeah.
They just don't trust any. I mean, they do try to pull people's faces off because they think they're wearing a mask all the time. But how many children were saved because of Scooby-Doo?
Countless.
I don't think very many.
They taught me what a red herring was
by
the ginger kid that always got blamed for everything, named Red Herring.
The thing is, I would excuse it if it was just one of the shows, but it has
lasted.
Well,
that was on the spin-off.
It has continued to last.
And there's a reason for that.
It just got rebooted to the future.
I know. It's horrible.
Well, I don't like the I guess I don't like the
voice
movies.
Acting was amazing.
It was. Come on.
Oh, Rubu.
So same people.
That's all good.
So good. Casey Kasem and the whole
Casey
gang.
Casey Kasem was great. Zoink Scoop.
Oh, he was so fantastic.
Daphne was hot.
Yeah.
That is true.
Every redhead, every cartoon show had a hot redhead.
Yeah.
Every single one.
I don't know what the hot cartoons are these days, which is probably a good thing because I don't have children. And I think it'd be creepy if I did know what all the Saturday morning cartoons were.
There's no.
I don't think they have
Saturday morning cartoons.
There's just Cartoon Network.
Just every day the cartoons.
Yeah.
Man, I miss the. There's something fun. There was something really fun about only getting cartoons once a week.
Yeah. That's what I tell my kids all the time.
Wacky
I say,
racers.
Know, when I was a kid, we only had not even one day. We had one half of one morning.
Yeah, you had a morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And then if you got up early, I don't know if you guys remember drawing with Captain Bob. He was on before.
Mm-hmm.
You could draw pictures of nature with Captain Bob.
Bob Ross.
I don't think that was a TV show, Tom.
It was Uncle Bob, and you need to go to therapy.
You're right. Scooby-Doo was garbage.
Drawing
nature with Bob.
He was like, I mean, he was the original. He was before Bob Ross or any of those guys.
Your parents would say, you have to watch this in the basement. And there was like a cardboard TV.
It was on at like 6 in the morning. So if I got up extra early before everyone else.
Yeah. Oh, before your parents got up, this happened. Interesting.
Yeah.
Like right before Charlie Rose.
And then right after they went to sleep, it was also on.
But you can look. I'm sure. I haven't looked him up, but I'm sure he's on YouTube.
No, I'm sure he is.
You would draw oftentimes seafaring scenes.
A sailor motif?
Yeah. Sailors. Yeah. There was whales.
Uh-huh. Gladiators. You know, just a normal Saturday morning fare.
Man, it's so funny to think about
that. Into a Turkish prison.
You know, old people used to talk about, like, your grandfather, your father, I'm sure he used to tell you stories of woe, of what he had to go through, maybe missing a toe or a finger.
Yeah.
And now you have to tell your children the worst, how things have changed. You used to only have cartoons on half a day.
Yeah.
So we're doing pretty good.
But it was true. It's like you actually wanted to get up early on Saturdays.
Yes.
Yeah.
What were your actual cartoons, though?
To watch. Well, it was Scooby-Doo. It was Super Friends, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Super Friends was great.
Hong Kong Phooey, very politically correct cartoon.
Yeah, I never really watched that.
I'm
trying to think what else I
watched.
He
was a martial arts dog, I believe, who solved crimes.
Oh, yeah, of course. I remember that. I mean, in real
sweet
time.
Fu Manchu.
And he was voiced by Scatman Crothers.
Was he really?
Yes, he was.
No, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure he was.
Wow.
Yeah, we had what did we have, Tim? We had some good stuff. We had Batman was on, Animaniacs.
I loved Animaniacs and Hysteria.
Yeah, those were great.
Pinky and the Brain.
Pinky and
those
the Brain.
Those were all afternoon shows, though. Yeah. I watched all the I remember watching their the old Scooby Doo's, the Jabberjaws, Hong Kong Phooey.
Yeah,
Wacky
were,
you guys remember Rocket Robin Hood?
Yes.
No, that one I do not.
It's like Space Robin Hood.
Yes.
We got to get this right back. We got to start talking more about Bubble Water.
Johnny Quest
and Rocket Robin. I think they were in a double feature.
Yeah, the good old days. I don't know what kids are up to anymore.
But yeah, and then Sunday morning stunk.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was
adult shows.
It was televangelists,
from
what I remember.
It was televangelists, and then it was also Meet the Press and all that stuff, which as a kid, you know.
Yeah, who cares?
Well, and opposed to as an adult when I...
Yeah. Or those still boring morning shows that go on before Meet the Press, like the Charles
Carroll.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it was always, you know, like they would go to a commercial with a babbling brook.
Yes,
know?
Exactly. It was like the mellow. Garrison Keillor of television yep. shows. Yes. Yeah.
McLaughlin. I watched that show when I was growing up.
A great show.
The McLaughlin
show
group.
Was fun.
That show was amazing.
Yeah.
They were hilarious. Yeah. And I just remember staring at Pat Buchanan as a kid, and I didn't. My mom loved him. And then my dad, my dad also liked him, but I always liked McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out what Pat Buchanan was. I didn't know he was a person. You know, he was just a character. He was a crazy, just a yelling buffoon, I felt. And it, to some degree, still is. But man, that was a fun show. Nothing like there's nothing like that on TV anymore, where you have four people really truly fighting.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everything is so contrived now. I think McLaughlin did a good job of really harnessing the rage.
I thought you were setting up some kind of joke.
No, I have no joke.
So in fact, that Red Eye
about
is a panel
Red Eye.
Show
yeah,
with
I know.
Four
That's,
people. I thought you were leading to
too.
Some
yeah.
gag.
No.
Imagine if there was a show.
I'm talking about morning. I'm talking about morning.
Yeah. But all of these shows, I mean, let's face it, Red Eye and all shows are a ripoff of McLaughlin Group.
Absolutely.
Essentially, right?
Except Red Eye. Roads lead to McLaughlin.
Yeah. I mean, he said, they always said, the original, you know, it was the best voices, the strongest.
That
talk.
Was fun.
No, because Red Eye is in the morning. All right, yeah, Red Eye does it.
I only knew that show, like most of my stuff, through Saturday Night Live. Like that was, I only know Dana Carvey as McLaughlin.
That's perfect.
Like that, I did not know who he was as a person. He was just Dana Carvey. As most of my cultural references were strictly Dana Carvey. Yeah.
That's it. I mean, the Menendez brothers, the first time I saw them, I thought that was a sketch on a Saturday Night Live. I never saw the people that they were representing first. I watched Spaceballs before I watched Star Wars.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Wow.
I watched all the parodies first, and then I would watch the originals. And you know what, man? The originals aren't nearly as good as the parodies.
Yeah, that's right. My kids watched Star Wars.
Well, hold on. Are you trying to say Spaceballs is better than Star Wars?
Yeah, because go comb the desert, and then there's a huge comb.
That's absolutely insane, and you should be locked up.
No, I don't think so.
You should not be allowed in polite society.
If you have to watch one right now,
Star Wars
or Spaceballs.
Spaceballs is not good. Spaceballs is not good.
I don't think it's good.
It's not good.
What?
Let me tell you what else isn't good. The Big Lebowski.
I'm with you on that.
Not
that
a good movie.
That movie
oh, my God.
Let me give you another.
The Big Lebowski.
Let me give you another. Raising Arizona.
Yep,
not
well, on that one.
The Coen brothers' broad comedies are not good.
That is insane,
Andy. I have absolutely no problem
How
saying
can you
that.
Call them broad comedies?
What do you mean?
I just call them boring tests.
The Big Lebowski is a wonderful noir. No. It's
to
a perfect
see if
parody.
You think you're smart.
It's great, and it helped me lose 150 pounds because I thought Jeffrey Lebowski had a good weight. So, so it encouraged me to lose a lot of weight. So that was good. And I think it's beautiful. You have Tara Reid before she went to the wrong doctor and got butchered like a chicken cutlet. So that was good.
You know what? Never saw either of those films, Andy.
Really?
I never saw Big Lebowski. I never saw Raising Arizona.
You have to. All right. Well, we have to end this episode, but we've got to go watch Big Lebowski. And
I think that's the most shocking thing I've ever said in the podcast.
It might be.
Right? Yeah.
No. I just can't believe.
And you know what? I didn't even just.
Are you doing?
Just didn't even intend to. I haven't resisted. It just hasn't happened.
Right.
This is like the McLaughlin group right now.
It is. Pat Buchanan level angry right now.
And not pronouncing his name right.
Well, whatever. I want to go invade
and
a country.
And Buchanan was never angry.
Buchanan was always angry.
Eleanor Clift was the angry one.
No, Buchanan would piss off Eleanor so much he had to get
he
angry.
He laughed through the whole show.
No, he did.
He's laughed through his whole career. The guy's he's a jolly old
Jack
fellow.
Jack Germont was the best, though. Just sprawling out.
Yes. I know, just spreading on that big chair.
Yeah,
all right. Well, if you missed
that,
Red Eye is the modern-day McLaughlin group.
Yeah. I didn't mean to say we ripped anybody off.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
No.
But we're
got to end the show.
We're a tribute
band. No,
that was
Gutfeld who did that.
All right. That's Tom, Tim, and Andy. I'm Ben. We'll talk to you soon.
Martini tabletop.